It has been said that Oscar Wilde's mother, anxious to have a daughter, was so deeply disappointed when her second son appeared on the 16th of October 1854 that she dressed him as a girl long after the age when the clothes of male and female children become distinctive. And that in some queer way known to pathology but obscure to common sense, this fashion gravely affected his sexual nature. But as his sister was born about 3 years after himself, when presumably his mother's desire for a daughter was appeased, it is reasonable to conclude that Oscar's appearances in girlish attire thereafter were limited to special occasions, and that we cannot explain his later fancies by insisting on his early frocks. When a writer's early years have been miserable, he seldom fails to let his readers into the secret, and as Oscar Wilde hardly ever spoke of his youth, we may infer that it was happy. In his 10th year, Oscar joined his brother at Portora Royal School in Enniskillen, and evidence concerning his nature began to accumulate. He was unlike the other boys in all his tastes and habits. On the negative side, he disliked exercise, detested games, "I never liked to kick or be kicked," loathed fighting, refused to climb trees, had no desire to collect or possess the usual things boys hanker after, and was wholly deficient in the spirit of adventure. On the positive side, he read a great deal, was careful about his clothes, wore his top hat on weekdays, loved flowers, admired sunsets, enjoyed solitude, and often mooned about in a state of abstraction. He had no special friends during his school days, and his brother took little notice of him. Willie was popular. He could play games and use his fists and tell amusing stories and do all the other things that boys liked. Also, he was considered much cleverer than Oscar, who at first was just as lazy at work as he was hostile to play. School education of any sort he thought valueless. "Nothing that is worth knowing can be taught," he once said. And, "We teach people how to remember. We never teach them how to grow." His opinion of schoolmasters was not flattering. "Everybody who is incapable of learning has taken to teaching. That is really what our enthusiasm for education has come to." His favourite romantic reading as a child was his mother's translation of Sidonia the Sorceress. But in his early teens, he read the novels of Dickens, which he did not like, and those of Disraeli, which he did. Then came poetry and the classics, which were his natural sustenance, and it was observed that the only possessions in which he took a pride were large paper editions of his favourite Greek authors, fondness for whom enabled him to leave the rest of the school far behind in his last year and win the gold medal. Willie and Oscar spent their summer holidays either with their mother on the continent or with their parents at Moitura, sometimes exploring the caves and ancient remains with their father, sometimes swimming or fishing in the lake. Oscar's fishing was perfunctory. He and Willie used to fish in Loch Corrib. "It was full," said he, "of large, melancholy salmon, which lay at the bottom of the lake and paid no attention to our bait." An event during his school life had such an effect on him that some years afterwards he wrote a poem on it. His sister, Isola, died at Edgeworthstown at the age of 9, and the doctor recorded that Oscar's lonely and inconsolable grief found its outward expression in long and frequent visits to his sister's grave in the village cemetery. He had probably longed for the day when Isola would be the sympathetic and affectionate companion he had failed to find in Willie. In October 1871, he received an exhibition from Portora and won an entrance scholarship at Trinity College, Dublin, where he remained for 3 years, his love of the classics gaining him many prizes, a foundation scholarship, and eventually the Barclay Gold Medal for Greek, which turned out to be his most useful and expensive academic distinction, for he pawned it when hard up and redeemed it when in funds at frequent intervals all through his life. The average student at Trinity College was more interested in fighting, gambling, drinking, football, whoring, and obscene stories than in Greek.